Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to Where To Go. I'm James Atkinson, brand manager at DK Eyewitness.
And I'm Lucy Richards, senior editor at DK Eyewitness.
And welcome to Where To Go, where every fortnight we find out more about the world's favourite travel destinations with the people who know those places best. And today we're going to Toronto. So we're heading across the Atlantic. Yeah. Going into Canada and going to quite a unique city, I think. Like, you know, Toronto kind of has that kind of metropolitan vibe, like some of its like kind of cousins in the US almost. But at the same time, you know, it's kind of I think it's got very much its own culture. It's got a thriving arts scene, really, really cool kind of foodie scene. But then there's like a lakeside location and beaches and so on.
And Niagara Falls.
And Niagara Falls is nearby too. And yeah, it's very much a kind of individual place. Sadly, I haven't been there. I know plenty of people from Toronto and should have been there before.
I've never been to Canada, have you?
No.
Embarrassing.
Needs to be done at some point. Yeah. But thankfully we do have someone who is a Toronto native. We're pleased to be joined today by Sajay Elder, a culture journalist, copywriter and curator living in Toronto who writes for Vice and Fader, as well as hosting her own podcast, Free Goods and Galcast. Welcome Sajay.
Hello Sajay.
Hi.
So brilliant to have you on the podcast, Sajay. To start with, we'll get a bit of background and then we'll move on to hearing more about some of the highlights and hidden spots of Toronto before finishing off by hearing about Toronto in the present day. So Sajay, what was it that drew you to Toronto, or did you grow up there?
So yeah, I was born and raised in Toronto. I lived like, you know, in the suburbs of Toronto for a little bit, maybe like 20 minutes out for a couple years of my childhood. But yeah, I was pretty much born and raised in the city.
And what part of the city do you live in now then?
So I live in Midtown. That's kind of like, most people know like the very downtown core, but this is kind of like maybe 15 minutes north on the subway. Okay. But I've lived like, you know, probably all ends of the city. It's kind of like stretched out, like mostly east and west is kind of the main areas, I guess. But yeah, I've definitely lived like all over the city at different points in my life.
And do you have any favorite parts of the city? Is there anything, any places that, you know, loads of things you like to do are kind of clustered in, or a particular place you've loved to live in?
Yeah, I like the area that I'm in now, Midtown. It's around like the Yonge and Davisville area, which if someone from Toronto is listening, they'll know where that is. But I also like living in the West End, like kind of like, it's just like where there's lots of like really cool pockets of culture, and, you know, you can get like really good, you know, really good West Indian food in certain places, really good Indian food in certain places, you know, really good, you know, Afghan food. So I like it closer to the west end of the city. There's like all these and like the far east end too. I would say all the cool stuff is kind of like outside the immediate downtown core.
Is it a bit touristy then around downtown?
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's obviously where most people head to when they first come here. But I would say all the good stuff is like in the outskirts.
Well, it's not actually that often we've had someone on the podcast who's kind of grown up in a city and then stayed there, actually, James. A lot of the time we have people who've moved there 10 years ago. Sajay, what is it that's kind of kept you then in Toronto? What is it that you love so much about it there?
I think it's just like the familiarity. You have access to the world in a sense. Like, I feel like that may be cliche to say for some metropolitan cities, but I feel like... I think a lot of other cities are more of a melting pot in that, like, you know, people move there and they're like, okay, this is my, you know, this is who I am now, this new place. But Toronto was this really cool mix of, like, everyone is kind of bringing their things from home, whatever home means to them. Mm. And it's very, you know, they keep it, it's still very, like, tightly bound to their identity and, like, the foods that they eat and or the kind of... the stuff that they frequent. So I think that's really cool. You literally get to have the world at your doorstep. And you know, you grow up with all these different kinds of people and you learn how to swear in different languages because all your friends are from all these different places. Like, I love that about it. Yeah.
How many languages can you actually swear in? Have you counted?
I feel like I know some like Somali swear words. I know some Tamil swear words. A couple. I feel like I know like one or two like Russian swear words. So like it's just
excellent.
Like nice. It's just you just pick it up when you're a kid on the schoolyard and everyone's coming from all these different places. So it's fun.
Nice. And if people if for whatever reason they never ever heard about Toronto, I don't really know why, it's a massive famous city, but imagine like no one had any preconception, you know, if you were to give them a brief introduction, what would you say about Toronto, like what, you know, kind of makes it?
I think kind of what I said before is in that like you have the world at your doorstep and that you're going to this place that's, you know, it's one city, but you could literally experience like 10 different countries in the same day, like in the walking along the same street, you know.
You also hit on, Sajay, on all the different cuisine types. That's another way I guess you can sort of explore is then through your stomach, which I love the idea of.
Yeah, exactly. And like I was saying, like I feel like all the good stuff is kind of like a little bit outside the more touristy areas. Like if you want to, you know, get really good, like there's really good Chinese Hakka food in this area of the city called Scarborough. And it's like the best of anywhere. But like I said, most people are going to be going downtown. So you're getting good stuff, but it's not like the best stuff.
So you've definitely got to push your experiences, get uptown a little bit.
100%.
And I know like kind of obviously Toronto is a bit of a metropolis, but it's also like really, you know, you go a little bit out of the city, there's like islands, there's like big lakes and stuff as well. You know, is it kind of like, has it got that kind of contrast as well in terms of like, you know, you can literally go out for like hikes and stuff, can't you?
Nearby? Oh yeah. Yeah. There's lots of, there's definitely a lot more green space in Toronto than like in other cities that I've visited. So there's like lots of like trails and stuff like that. I've only like recently gotten into that. But yeah, there's like definitely like really beautiful parks and, you know, we have like botanical gardens and kind of like these like large open markets that like on Sundays, like no cars are allowed to go there. So it's like it's very like pedestrian and like explorer friendly in that way, which I love. Mm-hmm. And another cool thing is that like because of where we are, you know, driving like an hour or two out of the city, like you're somewhere completely different. That's like, you know, cottage country where there's just like gorgeous lakes and it's super quiet and very naturey. So a lot of people do that. I didn't really get into that also until I was like a lot older. So there's like, you know, areas like Muskoka is a really popular one where a lot of people have cottages. Prince Edward County is another area that's like very, you know, a lot more rural in that way. So it's cool in that way. Like you kind of have like the best of both worlds. Like obviously this like bustling city, but if you drive like an hour or two away, then you kind of have your like, okay, I'm in nature. Like I'm in like the woods and it's cool.
Then you just have Canada. And that's,
And that's the thing, right? Canada is so big, but like the majority of us live, you know, within, I think it's like within like, two hours of the American border kind of thing. Like, but like Buffalo for me is on, like Buffalo, New York for me is only like 2 hours away. So I also grew up like going to Buffalo a lot, like, you know, for shopping trips, when our dollar was a lot better. So that was a lot. That was a lot of fun back in the days when I remember back in the day, like we didn't have Old Navy in Canada yet. So like if you went to the, went to Buffalo and bought an Old Navy sweater, you were like the coolest person in school. But yeah, like, so we also have that, you know, ability to, like, even, even New York City is just an 8 hour drive. So it's, you have a lot of access to cool stuff, but like Canada is huge. Like even the province that Toronto was in, Ontario, it would take, it would probably take 3 days just to drive from one end to the other, just within the province. Like, never mind, you know, me going to Vancouver. It, a flight to Vancouver is longer than me flying to Jamaica.
Wow.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Goodness me. God, that does show you how huge Canada is.
Yeah, a flight to Vancouver is about 6 hours, and I can fly to Jamaica in about four. I've done it many times.
Wow.
So... Canada is gigantic.
Yeah, that is certainly pretty vast. So so in the next section we'll get to know a little bit of like some of your favorite things to do and your kind of guide to the city as well.
So Sage, tell us, what are some of the sort of main sights in Toronto that a first-time visitor should or might do?
I feel like the most like obvious one, and most people that live here have never been there, is the CN Tower. I feel like that's pretty universal. I feel like most people that live in a city have like never been to their own like tourist landmarks.
Oh yeah, yeah, that is totally true.
Yeah,
I've not been on the London Eye, for example.
Right, like nobody. I remember.
I've been on the London Eye once, and I was 10, and that was like 10 years before I lived in London. So.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, exactly. I remember visiting a friend in New York and being like, "Oh, have you ever been to the Empire State Building?" And he's like, "To do what?" So
exactly.
Yeah. So you know, there's the CN Tower. I know they have like I know there's a restaurant up there. There is like, you can kind of do like the edge walk thing, like where they, you know, obviously like the outside is glass and you can like look down. I could never do that. I would probably pass out.
I hate those things.
I would absolutely pass out. So yeah, so there's the CN Tower. There is the ROM, or the Royal Ontario Museum. They have, you know, pre-COVID, they had actually this event on Fridays called First Fridays. And it would be really cool. Like, it would be like, you know, different artists performing and like, you know, smaller exhibits within the larger museum. And it was more of like, you know, their attempt to like attract a younger crowd kind of thing, because there was like drinks and food and it was really cool. But usually they do have some like really cool exhibits outside of that. Same thing with the Art Gallery of Ontario. We have the Ripley's Aquarium. And that is really fun if you like actually like, you know, want to touch an eel or a, what's the word I'm looking for? A stingray, I think.
A ray?
I think you can only touch the top of them or something like that, and like not their tail. But yeah, so there's those things. There's the Harborfront Center. That's mostly in the summertime. So that's like close to the water, and they'll have like a lot of like different like cultural and art events. And there'll be like vendors and stuff all throughout the summer. Really cool concerts. So this is like facing Lake Ontario. Those are kind of like the, you know, the key sites. There is a couple like, what's what I'm looking for? Not parks, but just kind of like in the middle of the city. Like there's Yonge and Dundas Square, there's Nathan Phillips Square, and it's just kind of like, well, that's where the City Hall is. So like there's not necessarily anything to do there, but it's just like, you know, cool photo ops essentially.
Nice places to hang out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Dundas Square kind of looks like a baby Times Square, we always say, because there's just like, you know, lights and screens all over the place. And then Nathan Phillips Square, I don't know if you guys have ever seen that, like just like that Toronto sign that lights up. That's where that is. So that's where a lot of people go and like take photos. And I know they change the colors of the letters depending on like what holiday it is or whatever. But yeah, so those are kind of like the hits.
Yeah, so that's your kind of greatest hits. Just get them, tick them off, and get them out the way.
Yeah, exactly. Possible.
And then beyond that, like you know, you talked a bit about like you know, the melting pot and like all the different like cuisines and stuff. But where do you like to hang out? What are some kind of hidden gems that you like to go to? Places that you, if you had a friend visiting the city, where would you go first?
Yeah, I think honestly, and this usually comes down to like what time of year you come. I always tell people to come in the summertime. Mm. Like Toronto is very big on hibernation in the wintertime, which is probably why our music sounds like so moody, because we're all just inside, just like crying about exes and not doing anything else.
How cold is it in Toronto at the minute?
Oh, it's -8 right now. So I haven't. So it's -8 right now. So yeah, the wintertime gets like nobody's doing anything. So whenever I have friends that are like, oh, what time of year should I come? I'm like, always summer. That's when there's so much things to do. And the cool thing about Toronto is that there are obviously things that I like to do like on a regular basis, but there's also like random things that will come up, like, you know, like a random new food festival. And you're like, I remember a couple years ago, I went to like a mac and cheese festival, or, you know, just like different cultural things that just will come up like day of, or like, oh, this is happening this weekend. And a lot of cool free outdoor things to do. In like early fall, we have this hip hop festival called Manifesto. That's always really dope. Just like random things to do. I do like going to Harborfront in the summertime. Like I said, like I've seen so many like cool, like free outdoor concerts there. Toronto Pride is another good one. I've definitely seen a lot of really cool shows. During Pride, like they have different events all over the city. But the one I mostly go to is called Blockorama. So that's usually kind of where like a lot of like the like queer people of color mostly go to that spot. Yeah. So there's like a lot of like, you know, R&B and dance hall and soca and like all these different genres. Whereas like, you know, most other events in Pride are very like house and pop, and that's cool too, but like sometimes you want you know, the carnival vibes a little bit. So that's definitely a lot of fun.
That's awesome. And when is Toronto Pride?
That is in June, so I feel like that's like late June, I want to say. We haven't had it for like obviously like the last 2 years, so it's been kind of blah, but yeah, it's been super fun. We've had like, I think Brandy performed at one, SWV was at one, and En Vogue was at one, like this really big soca artist, Allison Hynes was at one. So yeah, it's really cool.
Cool. So there's quite a big music scene in Toronto.
Absolutely. And yeah, there's always, you know, some show going on. Again, I'm like, you know, speaking pre-COVID, there's always some like random show. I do remember years ago, before like when Kaytranada was like getting more famous, and there was like this like last minute like hidden show somewhere, and me and a friend of mine that actually came up from Buffalo were like trying to get there, thinking that like, okay, it starts at this time, let's go in line at like 5. It was supposed to start at 6. We're like, okay, let's go line up at like 5. So we got there at 5, and they're like, oh no, like it's already at capacity, like it's like yeah, like literally the minute they announced it, people were like already in line. So like there's like cool stuff like that. And then obviously we have like so many artists that are from Toronto, or like from the, you know, from Montreal, like, which is like only a couple hours away driving. So there's always some random pop-up or event happening, which is also super cool.
Yeah, I think like the Toronto and Montreal kind of like over-index a little bit on like kind of like the amount of lots of R&B artists, lots of rock and indie kind of bands as well.
Yeah, 100%.
And it's kind of cool to hear that the live music scene represents that as well. That's awesome.
Yeah. How about then, Sajay, what is there to do nearby, sort of day trips wise? What would you recommend for visitors who want to see a bit more of cottage country, maybe, or Canada at large, sort of just outside of Toronto?
Yeah, so there's Muskoka, which I mentioned before, which is like maybe about 3 hours away. Okay, there's another beach called Hanlon's Point Beach. That's actually really nice. I guess the thing that weirded me out at first when I started going there is like, I guess I'm used to like going to places where there's salt water, like when I'm, you know, going somewhere in the Caribbean. So I'm like, oh, I'm not floating. B, it's not salty. but it's a beach, like there's sand, but I can't float. It's weird. Yeah, so there is that one. There's Sugar Beach, which is like technically not, it's more of like a, just like a waterfront, like maybe like a boardwalk, I would say. There's definitely a lot of like boardwalk type of places. So like if you don't necessarily want to like, you know, do the whole beach layout thing, but you want to be near water and like have a nice view and things like that. So there's that.
This might sound really stupid, but I don't think I realized that that Toronto had beaches or beaches nearby.
Yeah.
For a city, that's really cool to have both sort of a metropolitan and way and then a beachy way.
Right. There's Woodbine Beach, which is like, you know, within Toronto proper. You don't have to like drive anywhere to go to that one. But yeah, it's definitely like lots of people have like picnics there. I don't know how I feel about swimming in the water. I may not. But yeah,
I mean, if it's minus eight right now, I'm guessing no one's swimming in the water right this second.
Exactly. But yeah, like I said, like Muskoka is definitely a beautiful area. And then a lot of people have been going to Prince Edward County as of recently. And it's just like a nice getaway, you know, when you want that quiet, you want that like, you know, I want to be in the woods. I don't necessarily want to be in the hustle and bustle for a weekend. It's definitely nice for a weekend getaway.
And do a lot of locals do that? Do a lot of locals sort of tend to leave the city of a weekend, or do they tend to stay, you know, closer to home, actually in Toronto, out of interest?
So like on like long weekends, like we have a long weekend in early August, like late July, early August. It's a civic holiday. I usually stay back because that's when our Caribbean Carnival is. Actually, I'm going to come back to that in a second. But yeah, that people do go to like Wasega Beach and Muskoka during that weekend. In about May, we have Queen Victoria Day. More British things. We have Queen Victoria Day, and that's like another, you know, 3-day weekend. So a lot of people do leave the city because it's just, you know, a nice little getaway in early spring. So, definitely during the summertime, in the summer months, there are people that will have like a whole, like they own a whole other cottage elsewhere, and that's where they go for like, you know, maybe weeks at a time kind of thing.
Okay.
Cool. So it's like a mass exodus almost, and everyone kind of gets out. And you mentioned there about like kind of a Caribbean Day. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. So this is the time of year that I tell most people to come to Toronto because it's like, I feel like it's like the most lively time of the year. So our Caribbean Carnival, we call it Caravana. It has like an official name, but like if you grew up here, it's going to be Caravana forever. So that's like late July, early August. And it's kind of like, you know, there's like parties and the run up to it. So, you know, there's, you know, maybe you're going to like a day party or there's something at night or like there's always something happening. But there's also really cool cultural things. So they'll have what they call panorama. So that's like when all like the steel pen groups are like, you know, competing. Cool. And that's like in this like huge stadium. In fact, the stadium is actually really close to where the Royal Ontario Museum is. So they'll have that, and then they'll have like the King and Queen competition. So these like huge costumes that are like you know, mechanically operated by different people. So it's like really cool. So they'll have those cultural things. And then, of course, you know, you have like the parties and different clubs and stuff that are in the run up to the actual parade. So the parade is usually the Saturday, like the first, like the last Saturday of July, first Saturday of August kind of thing. And yeah, I usually am in it, like, you know, full costume, all that stuff. So it's a lot of fun. And and Harborfront also, which I mentioned earlier, will do kind of like a festival as well. So there's like all these like food and like clothing vendors of like, you know, you can get like amazing Caribbean food and like, you know, soups and all kinds of stuff. They'll usually have concerts and stuff there as well. And then actually there's like we call it Center Island, but like you have to take a ferry there. It's like, I don't know, like a 10-minute ferry or something. It's still part of Toronto, but yeah. They'll do like a giant picnic basically on Center Island as well that same weekend.
Oh wow.
They actually do some really cool events over there. I believe there's like a small amusement park over there. People live on Center Island, but it's one of those things. I think it's like it's a heritage site as well. So if you basically, you can't just like buy a house there, you have to like inherit it essentially. But yeah, there's always something really cool to do, I would say, during that weekend and that week lead up specifically. Like I would say And then also that kind of runs into TIFF, to Toronto International Film Festival. Yeah, it's like early September. So I always say, like, yeah, one of those two times, like the best times to come to the city, because there's always something happening.
I mean, cool. It sounds like it's a city that really lives on kind of events, live music, things actually happening outside, albeit kind of in the summer mostly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I feel like there's like so many different festivals throughout the year that, like, if you plan your trip around one of those, depending on what you're into, like there's also the jazz festival. I believe that's in July. And yeah, that's, you know, that's also another really cool. I saw like Chaka Khan at a jazz festival like a couple years ago. Like, it's, there's always something really cool happening. And then obviously back to the food is like, there's always some type of food related festival. So there's Salsa in St. Clair that happens in June. That's like a lot of like, Latin food. So there's like an area of the city, St. Clair, that like is a lot of Latin businesses and people that live there. So like you get like amazing like Colombian food and Argentinian food, Peruvian food, arepas, and oh my gosh, it's so good. And excuse me, and then there's Taste of the Danforth. That's like in August. Taste of Danforth is like this historically Greek area. I used to actually live close to there. So you can get like any Greek food that your heart desires, like souvlaki, you know, baklava, like that, it's all there. So there's another one. And then they do winter. It's like a part of the same series, Winterlicious and Summerlicious. So basically different restaurants will take part in it, and they'll have kind of like a fixed price menu, essentially encouraging people to like try new places. So different restaurants will participate in Winterlicious, which is around January, and then Summerlicious, which is around June. And it'll be about a week or two. So yeah, you just go on the website and it'll show you like which restaurants are participating, and the fixed price menu is like a little cheaper. So people are going in and trying new places. So there's always like, you can definitely like eat your way through the city in that way. So
I'm now understanding why it's really difficult asking you for your favorite places to eat as well, because it sounds like there's quite a lot of choices.
Yeah, because it's just like what are you feeling for? And then it's almost like you almost have to break it down by like, what are you feeling for? And then let's say you're like, okay, I want like noodles, but you're like, okay, like what region of the world are we talking? Like, do we want like, are we going Asian today? Are we going, you know what I mean? Like, do you want pasta? Like what, like, you know, there's like, you know, really great authentic Italian food. Taroni is a great place. So it's like, you really have to decide like, what part of the world do I want to like,
where am I visiting today?
Yeah, exactly.
Side of Toronto.
Exactly.
Well, bad news for you is that we're going to ask a couple of quick fire questions, which, I want you to kind of clear your mind and only say the first thing that comes into your mind. So whatever you want to, like, you know, whatever your answer would be right now, I would probably say. Mm-hmm. So I think, Lucy, you're going to answer that's the first one of this. And it's just one place. You can only say one place as well.
Okay.
So, Sajay, your favorite place in Toronto to eat?
I would say a place called Wraps on Eglinton West. So Eglinton West is like where our little Jamaica is. There's a couple, but that's like the main one. And yeah, I would say Wraps is probably my favorite place to eat.
What are you eating at Wraps?
Depends on my mood that day. Maybe like an oxtail. I mean, also depends on like what they have, because like Jamaican restaurants are notorious for like running out of things super early in the day. So like maybe like a jerk chicken and rice peas, like keep it classic with coleslaw.
Lovely.
Oxtail with white rice. Their curry chicken is really good.
Sounds great.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite places in the city for sure.
Awesome. Cool. Awesome. Nice one. And your favorite view of Toronto, your favorite place to see the city?
So there's two places. Technically they're not places that you can... One is a place that you can't really stop, for example. So one place is Bathurst Street Bridge. So that gives you like this really cool view of like... you're seeing the CN Tower, like all of those stereotypical pictures that you see of the city where like the CN Tower is right there you know, all those condos and stuff around it. That is a really dope view. But then also driving along Lakeshore, But in terms of driving along Lakeshore Boulevard, like basically like heading towards the city, essentially, is like this really, really cool. Cause it's like, you know, you're seeing all this, you're seeing everything on the horizon. Like it's just really cool, especially at nighttime. Like it just looks really cool. Yeah. Like it just, it makes like so many like Drake songs make sense in your head when you're like seeing that nighttime view and you're like, I get it.
I can't believe we've done half an hour of a podcast recording about Toronto and that's the first time we've mentioned Drake.
I know. He's like, you know, omnipresent in the city in a lot of ways.
Yeah, national treasure. Yeah. And then, Sajay, your favorite day activity?
Favorite day activity? You know, as I've, you know, gotten older, I like a good day party. Like if you can be a little tipsy at like 1-2 o'clock in the afternoon and then you go home and like, you're good. So I have, I actually have a friend that throws really dope parties. Her name is Rebecca Dawn and she has different party series. So she does like a party series called Cozy. She does one called F It. I don't know if I'm allowed to swear on here. She does one called That Slow Jam Party herself. And this really dope DJ from here named DJ Lissa Monet. That's another thing. Toronto has some of the best DJs in the world. And we don't have much of a club district anymore because it's basically all been like turned into condos. But if you just follow specific DJs, so like DJ Lissa Monet, like I mentioned, DJ Bambi is another good one. DJ Nino Brown, Ace Dillinger is another good one. If you just follow those DJs, like you're good. There's another, he's not a DJ, but he throws parties. Kazim Kutei, he throws really dope parties. But yeah, like cool. That's my favorite daytime activity. It's like a nice little.
So you go there during the day, hang out, and then just, you know, go home and sleep it off or.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't know if I can do, like, once it's like 10 p.m., I'm like, oh, I'm in for the night. Like, this is no.
Yeah, I'm with you, frankly. Yeah.
Yeah. As soon as like the late 20s started creeping up, I'm like, oh, no, I have a bedtime. I'm like a 7-year-old. Like, no. But a good day party in your home by like 7-8. Love it.
Oh, that's the best step. Yeah, I'm with
There's
you there.
There's not enough of those in London. your favorite place to drink?
It's closed now. It used to be this place called Crocodile Rock. And I liked it, especially in my early 20s when I was like, you know, you don't have a lot of money. So if someone is like, shots are $2.50, you're like, this is great. this is perfect. I would say, I mean, I'm sure you meant alcohol drinks, but there's a place on Eglinton West.
Any drinks.
Okay, got you. There's a place on Eglinton West called Treasure Isle. And they make smoothies. They make really, really good smoothies. And they also sell like records and like mixtapes and like vintage like CDs and stuff, like a lot of like reggae and dancehall stuff. But then they also make like these really, really good, like fully vegan smoothies. So yeah.
Awesome. Oh, that sounds lovely. Yeah. What a cool combination as well. Records and vegan smoothies. Lovely.
That's a lot more wholesome than the answers we usually get for that question as well. So that's, awesome. Well, we just touched on it a little bit, but we're going to talk a little bit about the, you know, how things have been in Toronto recently and also some of the stuff to look forward to in the future in the next section. If you've been inspired to take a trip to Toronto, get closer to the city with our Top 10 Toronto Travel Guide, perfect for exploring the city's world-renowned museums and galleries, celebrated food scene and scenic islands. Find it in all good bookshops or via the link in our episode bio.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
So So Sajay, how has Toronto changed in recent times, in the past? Sort of pause the pandemic. We'll come back to the pandemic around that. Has it changed much?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, gentrification is a big thing. You know, I've talked a lot about, you know, Little Jamaica earlier, and it's like that there's been construction going through there for like years, and it kind of has like really negatively affected the area. And, you know, I know a lot of people in the community are fighting to have it be like a heritage site. Like there are different heritage sites in the city, and we're trying to fight for that to, you know, be preserved in some kind of way. And there's a lot of, I know developers see like a lot of like possibilities in Toronto in terms of like expanding and growth. So to them, it's just like, you know, more land to put condos on. But for people that have, you know, been grown and raised here, it's different for us. We have a kind of different connection to that, to those spaces. So gentrification and housing prices going, like housing prices.
Yeah.
Toronto has one of the, like, I've seen like global lists of like, you know, housing costs, and Toronto was like always near the top. Like we're like, you know, and we're above New York sometimes. Like that's
seriously.
Yeah. Wow. So, yeah. So there's like a lot of that happening. And, so what's changed with respect to that. And I feel like there are some people who are, you have to move further out of, you know, to the further outskirts to be able to afford to buy a house and, all these different things. So that has definitely changed a lot. On a positive note, I think that, like we have so much more access to, you know, we have so many artists that are coming out of the city, for example. So we just have so much more, a lot more like cool points that we definitely did not have like 15, 20 years ago. Like, you know, traveling to the States or whatever as a kid, people would be like, what, where is that? Like, what? Like, I didn't even know that. Like, like, what are you talking about? So, we've definitely gained a lot of like cool points in that way. And people finally seeing kind of what we've always known about Toronto. I do love that aspect. But I feel like we're not the only city kind of going through like it being more expensive for people to live there. So I don't love that part, but it's definitely, that would be a big change for sure.
And then kind of, you know, looking at sort of the pandemic, how is Toronto being? It's quite interesting you say about it being like quite, you know, 2 hours to get into the US border, but the US approach to COVID and the Canadian approach is like hugely differed, really. And
yeah,
I think you guys have had a lot more sort of stricter lockdowns in some ways in Toronto, right?
Yeah. So we've kind of like oscillated like back and forth. Like there were, we were definitely like way more strict than the US was. Like, I'm not sure. I feel like the US border is still closed like for driving. Like we can fly there, but like we can't drive there if it's like not
emergency or like
exactly
medical thing.
Non-essential driving travel, I think, to the States still. So it's definitely been a little back and forth. Like we've definitely had our moments where it was very strict, and then cases go down and obviously things get lax, but then, you know, everyone being together means that it can spread and all these things. So we've gone like a lot of really back and forth in that regards. But I think it's changed life here a lot because like I said, like because we have this such a multicultural city, we also have people that are traveling home a lot and like, you know, doing a lot of back and forth. Or, you know, there's also people, we call them snowbirds, that like literally live half the year in Florida. A lot of older folks that do that. So definitely a lot less travel. And I feel like more people, I would say, travel internationally than like within Canada. Like I could count on one hand the amount of times that I've like taken a flight within Canada. So just because it is like super expensive, it's so much longer than going other places. So it's like that's definitely probably changed. On a positive note, I feel like more people are open to exploring other places in Canada, just out of necessity, because like we can't really go anywhere else. So I think that is the plus side, that like we've become more curious about like the getaways, you know, in our backyard kind of thing. But yeah, I think it's every province has like different ways that they do things with respect to the lockdown. So you know, just...
And did you say that you're back in a lockdown now?
Like, kind of. Like, I can still go to the store, but, like, if there, you know, there might be a lineup kind of thing, like, because they're only letting a certain number of people inside kind of thing. Sure. Obviously, we still have mask mandates. I just recently got my booster shot. So, I think... that's the only downside is, like, you know, like I said, all of those events that we normally would be having, especially in the summertime, like, we haven't had those in 2 years. And I'm thinking this summer might be the third year that it's, you know, all these things. So we actually had, I don't know if they do this in other, they probably do this in other cities, but it's kind of like close to the end of the summer. It's called the Canadian National Exhibition. It's kind of like, they have like different vendors and, I don't even know how I would describe it, but it was on for like over 100 years, like 125 years, something like that.
Okay.
And because of the money that they lost in like 2020, they literally can't do it ever again.
Oh, wow.
So, So the CNE is gone forever now because of the pandemic. And it was like definitely like a, you know, right before back to school tradition, right? Like you go and that's where have like, you know, you get your funnel cake and you go on like a couple rides and they have like games and like a fun fair, basically like a giant fun fair. But that was just like a thing that you did at the end of summer. And now like it literally can never come back. So,
That is sad.
And at any point, have you actually seen like kind of, you know, a couple of green shoots, like events kind of finally going ahead, like travelers kind of coming back in, or is it all quite, it's not quite there yet?
Yeah. Like last summer and fall, there were some things that kind of, you know, were able to take place because our cases were going down at that time. Like the hip hop festival that I mentioned, Manifesto, was able to go through. So we had some,
cool.
you know, some really cool performers. It was a good and bad thing. Like, you know, obviously with a lot of the travel restrictions, that meant that like normally where we would have a lot of international people on that bill, it was a lot more focused on like Canadian artists and Toronto artists, which was really cool.
Yeah.
There's this really amazing singer here from here called named Savannah Ray. And so she was one of the headliners. So we had that, but you know, like the closer that we got to winter and the closer that we got to like, you know, the holiday season and knowing that everyone was going to be together and spreading it and all that kind of stuff, it kind of just got crazier and crazier. So there was like, we had a semblance of normalcy last summer, but that was pretty much it.
Fingers crossed for 2022 then that it can, you know, these things can keep going.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, for sure. Especially, you know, as you said, like Toronto's just got it like some extra cool points in the last couple of years. So I think there's lots of people wanting to visit it as well. So I hope that, you know, you get that kind of semblance of normality kind of coming back. And Sajay, what about you? What's coming up on the horizon for yourself? I know you've got quite a few different projects on the go and stuff.
So I've mainly been working in the social media space. And last year I actually was, so I'm also dabbling in like some screenwriting stuff. So last year I was one of the writers on this show called Next Stop. So the second season is actually on, our national broadcaster has like a digital, like a online kind of streaming service that they put like a lot of like independent and like short film kind of stuff on there. So it's on there. Next Stop is like very much like specifically about like the Black Toronto experience and kind of like, you know, the nuances and like jokes and stuff like that within that. Cause like, even though we're getting a little bit better with respect to like Canadian content, it's still like, you know, vary from only one or maybe two perspectives. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of like Black and POC voices kind of are, you know, making our own thing and having a different understanding of what the city looks like. Kind of like going back to what I was saying close to the beginning, like what most people know of Toronto when they visit is a very downtown centric, but like the outskirts, which tends to be where most people of color live, and where these like cool cultural pockets are. Like, I feel like that's where like all the cool stuff is happening.
Where the energy is. That's where
exactly. And, I feel like our experiences can be so different. You know, somebody that only knows the downtown core versus me talking about like, oh, like I was, you know, I grew up in Jane and Finch, for example. Like that's like such a different experience than someone just going to, you know, staying in a hotel on King Street, which is like right downtown. So
yeah. Cool. I mean, yeah, we'll definitely check that out. And congrats on like having a second season as well. That's really cool.
Thank you.
Yeah. But yeah, well, we'll certainly make sure to check that out, Sajay. And it's been brilliant. Just I know Toronto is one of those huge cities. There's so much going on. And it's great just to kind of hear even the cusp of, you know, what's available there and like right. an introduction to it. So thank you so much for kind of taking us through that. And fingers crossed one day we'll be able to visit as well and go to one of those amazing kind of festivals that you were talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
So a huge thank you to Sajay. Listeners, you can follow what Sajay is up to by finding her on Twitter. Her handle is @JFiasco. So that's J-A-E, Fiasco. And also you can check out Next Stop, which is the show she's written for. Apparently the whole first season is on YouTube now.
Yeah, great. I'm definitely going to be checking that out. That was so cool. Yeah. It was so great to hear about all the... I just loved all the live music and... festivals. It was, you know, I really hope they'll come back. You got a real flavour of Toronto from them.
I mean, I think it's like a testament to the kind of the spirit of that as well, that you know, things haven't really been going on in the pandemic recently, and that Sajay is talking about them still as a kind of cultural heart of Toronto. And I think that fingers crossed things will be back and better this year. And I found it really amazing, like Sajay sort of said, melting pot, but like all of the different cultures kind of coming in there, all the different foods, all the different events, like that. There's so much to do beyond the kind of Toronto that I knew about. So, and we didn't even mention hockey once. So,
No, we didn't. Sajay, have to come back on and talk about hockey.
Well, thank you so much to Sajay. That was great. And where are we next, Lucy?
So next, we're actually coming back over to Europe, and we are going to Munich with writer Kate Mann.
Nice. So, lots of lots more food, I think, in Munich.
And events, Oktoberfest.
And events too. Yep. And you know, a pretty cold winter as well, I can imagine. But yeah, we'll be joined by writer Kate Mann, who will be discussing that with us. And that is actually going to be the last episode of our current series as well. So listen out for that, listeners, in 2 weeks' time. And until then, it's bye from me.
And bye from me.
We shall see you very soon.
Where to Go was produced by the team at DK Witness and the wonderful Julia Baker. It was presented by James Atkinson and Lucy Richards and mastered by Johnny Coddington at Bottle Rocket Recording. For more information about DK Witness, follow us on social media at DK Eyewitness or visit dk.com/eyewitness.
And don't forget to please like, rate, review and subscribe the show wherever you get your podcasts. Your support means so much to us.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.